listening to The People's Show.
You come at the King, you best not miss.
Left circle, Besser, one time slot shot, he scores. Brock Besser beats Jordan Binnington on the power play, and the Canucks are up 4-0.
With Seth, Dan, and Randeep.
The biggest thing to hit Canada because the Maple Leafs suck.
On the official home of the Canucks.
Goes all the way down the ice, here's Pettersson after it. He's got a chance at a breakaway. Pettersson in clean, is tripped by Murray, but he scores. Dinky Pete comes out of the box and puts the puck into the back of the net.
Sportsnet 650.
Welcome, citizens of the People's Show. We come to you live on Sportsnet 650 on the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh First Nations. It's Dan Riccio and Randeep Janda, the People's Show, with you early as we lead you into the Canucks and Pittsburgh Penguins for a 4 o'clock puck drop today. Satyar Shah will be joining up during the pregame show, but you, the people, you've always got to be a part of the show. 650-650 on the Dunbar Lumber text line. That is how you get in touch and become a part of the People's Show on a daily basis. On the show today, we will have Kevin Woodley after 2 o'clock, Ingle Magazine, and Josh Yowie of The Athletic will join us coming up after 2:30, teeing up the Pittsburgh end of things for this game day between the Canucks and Penguins. It begins a five-game roadie. Randeep, and one of your favorite cities to visit, Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It's got a real special place in my heart. We had some good moments there with Hockey Night in Canada, Punjabi, and hopefully it's got a special place in the Canucks' hearts as well, because they need something tonight. They need a W. They need some good vibes. And not good vibes of like, oh, we tried and we generated or just hit a couple of posts. No, you actually need results. And this is where it starts with the Canucks. It's, hey, do you start off this road trip in the right way, with the right mindset, with the right vibes? Keep that progress, at least from a, you know, chance creation element that you saw against Chicago, but get actual results. Because, guys, this is the conversation we've been having for the last 2 weeks. This is a result season. And it's a stretch of a situation to get back in it now, but at the very least, if you want to, you know, turn this around a little bit, in the short term anyways,
yeah,
it starts tonight. And the first game of road trip is very, very important.
It's pretty hilarious how this is all played out this whole season. And even some of the rhetoric that's kind of coming out.
Such as?
It gets heavy, right? But I'm kind of just like laughing as it continues to unfold, because it's pretty obvious that this team is just wishing and hoping and praying to get a couple of wins to buy them some time. And they've been in that mode for a couple of weeks now and continue to be there. They come home, they play a couple of good games, but they only get one win, you know, like, as it stands, it's a existential crisis until it isn't, you know?
It feels like they're delaying the inevitable.
Yes.
Doesn't it kind of feel like that, where you're essentially saying, you know where this is headed after such a terrible, terrible start, but you are looking at, you know, a situation where it's going to be very difficult to come back. So I get what you're saying. It feels like, you know, with every win, whenever that happens, you buy a little time, but that's about it.
It was a day where Travis Green shut down a lot of the noise that's been coming out around this club, the JT Miller conversation that we talked about as it broke out of the province a couple of days ago, pretty much just squashing it as much as he possibly could. Like, what else are you going to do? You're sticking up for your guy, and you want to quiet down the noise, but it continues to be a situation that the Sharks are circling here in Vancouver. A lot of stories are getting out that is affecting just the whole feel around the club. And I thought it was interesting hearing Elliot Friedman on the Jeff Merrick show today. In that, the thought process right now of what's going on with Vancouver and how they are dealing with this current situation and how they hope to potentially come out of it.
The number one thing that I keep hearing about Vancouver, and I hear it every day, like I hear it every day, is that they're trying to avoid doing something they regret for a decade. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's it. You know, all of our guys on radio out in Vancouver there are just, they're churning the mill every day. They're just throwing more logs on the fire. All of those fire starters out on 650 in Vancouver. And, you know, they're getting calls. Like there's no question in my mind they're getting calls about a lot of their guys. But I have heard that the Canucks have told teams were determined not to walk into a mistake. So now the one thing I do think they're all asking themselves is they know that ownership is saying, if we don't fix this soon, what are we going to do? And so it's tense, and this is a huge game tonight, and I think everybody there feels it. I think if you're the Canucks and the GM and the coach and the players, the best thing you can do right now is say, like, the only way we're going to get out of this unscathed is if we all go row in the right in the same direction, right? And I think that's the kind of thing they're trying to do, is get everybody back on the same page. It's not an easy thing to do because you feel like you're drowning when it's like that in that market.
That's Elliot Friedman on the Jeff Merrick Show. And he ends it very logically, but the thought off the top of the clip that you don't want to make a mistake that may affect you for a decade. You don't want to make a mistake that will affect you for potentially a decade. Well, where was that sort of patience for the last 7 years? Right? Where was that when you traded for Oliver Ekman-Larsson and his massive contract when you're not close to winning a Stanley Cup? Yeah, OEL's been good, but you're basically dead last in the league or very close to it. And that contract's only going to get worse as time goes on. Where was that when you signed Tyler Myers to a 6-year deal a couple years ago? Where was that when you were trading first-round picks left, right, and center? Or earlier in your tenure with Jim Benning, trading second-round picks, third-round picks, and you want a pick, you want a pick, everybody gets a pick. Where was that sort of patience at any point over the last 7-plus years with this organization? Now you're saying, oh, we don't want to make a mistake that could cost us a decade? Jim Benning's been here for 8 years, and you've had one legitimate playoff team with Willie DeJardin in 2015. Other than that, you had 1 year that got cut short early, and you made a playoff run then with all of the weird machinations of who gets to be a playoff team and who doesn't in that season. This is, like, you don't want to make that mistake now? You've been committed to that mistake for the last 7 years and how it's continued to compound itself with this team. It's, I don't even know how to, like, process the whole, we don't want to make a mistake that could cost us another decade. I mean, you've been there and you've committed to it for so long.
Okay, Dan, take a sip of water, relax, and I'll explain why this one is different. The reason that this one is different is you don't want to make a mistake that affects the team for 10 years after Jim Benning is gone. This is on, if it continues this way, if the Canucks are this bad, or if the Canucks are in a position where they don't make the playoffs, which is an organizational aim for everybody, from the coach, the players, the GM, and Francesco Aquilini, if you fall short of those expectations, essentially what the difference here is that those mistakes that were made before, especially early in the tenure, you could try to correct them. And that's what Jim Benning tried to do with the Oliver Ekman-Larsson deal. Now, whether that's good or bad, we'll see in the next couple of years. But the difference about making that move a move now is, if this goes in the direction that it's going right now, you're not able to work off that mistake. This is not going to be on his time. This is going to be on somebody else's watch. So the difference between making that mistake now and versus 3 or 4 years ago is,
yeah,
if you make that mistake now, there's a good chance that Jim Benning's not in charge. So that's why this time is different, Reach. Before, it was, hey, if you make those mistakes, you got to sort it out. You got to figure it out. And that was Jim Benning's attempt this past offseason by offloading Jay Beagle, Antoine Roussel, and Louis Erickson. The difference now in November 23rd, November 24th, is that you're in a different situation where your own future is uncertain. So therefore, making another mistake of a sizable proportion is not on the table, because there's a very good chance, Reach, that he's not going to be able to correct it. So that's the difference here, is saying, all right, you're not allowed to take any more risks.
Yep.
By the sounds of it, because everybody's future is uncertain, including the GMs.
It's totally fair. And yet, I look at the roster and I say, what is that move that could affect you for the next decade?
That's the scary part, that it's being...
What are you even thinking about that this could affect you for the next decade? Like, you're not trading your first round pick to get yourself out of this. I would sure hope you're not thinking about trading any of the young core that you've actually built here to try and get yourself out of this. Like, what are the moves you're actually thinking about making that could lead you to a mistake that you feel for years from now? My point is, those have already been made. And look, there's still time that Oliver Ekman-Larsson plays pretty well through the course of his contract. Connor Garland has been a good fit for this team, even if the results haven't come. But the problem has been that it's still coming short. And I'm looking at this and I'm saying, even if you were to trade JT Miller, that's not something that is going to affect you for the next 10 years. If you were to trade Bo Horvat, like, these players are potentially gone in the next two, right? They're unrestricted free agents. They're on the clock as we speak. The only thing I could think of that you might be pondering is one of Elias Pettersson or Quinn Hughes, or, which isn't happening, obviously, or a first-round draft choice, which would clearly, more likely than not, be a lottery pick and a pretty good one the way this season is going at the minute. Why would you even be thinking about something like that? The whole idea of you could make a mistake that is going to affect you for the next decade, that's got to be something that, like, I think you look at it and it's like those mistakes have already been made. Hence why you've been, you know, running in cement for the last 8 years with this regime in this era.
Anything that even would be considered similar to or a quick fix where, you know, there is a situation where you're looking at, okay, this move will help this team, or this move will really drastically change what's going on with the Vancouver Canucks. The way that they've played, there are no quick fixes. Is there a massive move that you could look at and say, this is going to be correct? I don't see it. So this whole idea of a move of that proportion, this team even making it, like, I can't even fathom it. I can't fathom it for two reasons, because the team has been that bad. And B, Aquilini in this studio mentioned to us that he believes in Jim Benning's plan. I would imagine a month later now, that opinion has had to shift because this team has been so bad. So even the idea that something of that nature, of that proportion, could even be pondered, yeah, to fix what this team is doing or lack thereof on the ice, I can't see that. So the fact that this is even being thought about, yeah, or has been thought about or is even being considered, this is based off what Elliot has said. You know, there's a danger, there's a fear that you don't want to be stuck with a move that hurts you for 10 years thereabouts. I'm paraphrasing. I don't even think that can be a part of your line of thought right now. Your line of thought should be, this is a team we have. You tinker. Maybe you make a small move here if you want to send a message. You look at the coaching position, if they continue to lose like this. And then after that, you see where this team is going. And if they are in that death march, so be it.
Yeah.
You make moves accordingly, and you restock, you reload in the offseason. And then you maybe make some moves at the deadline or in the offseason. But if you start thinking about making big moves now to try to, you know, take out the defibrillator on this team, it's not going to happen.
Yeah,
you've already
not.
Dug yourself such a hole that making any sort of panic move, especially a substantial one, you're shooting yourself in the foot down the future. So I don't think that should even be a part of the thought process. If it is, that's flawed logic.
Of course, like when a GM talks, and Jim Benning spoke to us last week, you know, we're looking at everything, right? Okay, that's typical GM line. I don't want this team to be looking at anything right now. Freeze. You know, either just let games keep going and then make your decision on your coaching staff and your management group as games keep going by, but you can't, literally cannot be thinking about making any sort of roster move right now, other than like day-to-day transactions, who's going up, who's going down, filling in for this injury, filling in for that, whatever it may be. Like, those are the only transactions you should be even thinking about right now. To think of any kind of a trade, to me, is just absolutely madness.
Okay, but let's look at it from this other point of view, though, right? Elliot mentioned that they don't want to make a move that will hurt them for 10 years. And that is a good thing. I'm looking at this positively.
You're right.
Right? Because I think you came in way too hot looking at it negatively. The fact that they don't want to make the move is a positive thing.
Yeah.
And it, more than anything, it's a holding pattern.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I look at that situation and say, the GM, maybe upon direction of the owner, has said, yeah, figure this out. We're not going to do anything. We're not going to look at that. So I, in a lot of ways, guys, think this is actually a positive move, because it gives you a holding pattern to say, players, it's on you. Travis Green, it's on you. And if nothing major happens, that's a good thing, I think, for the long-term direction of this team. It gives clarity on the long-term future, whoever is in charge, and it keeps as many options open for whether it's a new GM coming in, a new coach, if that change happens. If it doesn't, you know, that's a different conversation. But I actually take this as good news. You don't want that move.
Okay.
I got to talk you off the ledge on this one, Reach. I think you came in very hot.
Maybe too many Spros. I swear, I listened to Friedman on the walkover and some of those clips, and I was like, what? What are we doing here? It's been a decade. You've been just running in cement. Constantly. Not going up, just going down. You had the one-off years where you had some level of success, but beyond that, it hasn't been there. Let's go to the people. Mike in Richmond, you're on the People Show. What's up, Mike?
Well, I'm so glad you took my call. I agree with you. I love what the Vancouver media is doing is about being negative about this franchise, because we need to do something. Like, I've like eat, live, breathe them. What else do we have to support in Vancouver really besides the Canucks, right? The Lions are trash. Hopefully they're in the right move to get better with this new ownership. But this big problem, a decade, we've had a decade of problems. When the Canucks hired Trevor Linden, the New York Rangers were in the same situation. I don't have the numbers in front of me. I went out for lunch. But the amount of draft picks that they acquired, and then they sent out a letter to their fans apologizing, saying, we are in a rebuild. We're going to come back. We're going to impress you. And look at them now. You know, I'm not saying they're fighting for a cup or contender, but they're a hell of a lot further in front of the Canucks right now. The problem is ownership. We can beat up Jim Benning. We can beat up Green all we want. I don't care about those two anymore. They're dead to me. The problem is Aquilini. He's got to put some money into this team and hire a proper front office that can run this company probably. He's running this company into the ground. I have canceled my season tickets last year with my friend that we had two seats. A couple guys at work are going to cancel them, and they have been season ticket holders for over 20 years. We need to hit him in his pocketbook. He needs to go spend some money, get off his wallet. You know, I was a lot more calm when I was talking to the gentleman who took me a call originally here.
Josh is a calming presence. That's true.
My old man is going to die without seeing them raise a cup. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
My stepson doesn't even want to watch them.
Oof.
You know, his dad's got a box to the Arizona Coyotes, and he'd rather go there because there's more stuff happening in the stadium. I went to the game against Nashville, and it was like a morgue in there. It was gross. There's
we hear
no
you,
entertainment.
Mike. Thanks for the call. Allowed you to vent, and I hear you.
The game against Nashville was Diwali night. That was actually pretty festive compared to most other nights. So
it's true. It's true. I appreciate Mike and Richmond just going off. And hey,
there's frustration there, and I get that, right? From a fan perspective, when you've been, and it's not only 8 years, it's even beyond that. You know, you're looking at a team that has been, at one point, was an elite team, but also an elite organization. And I know we've got a lot of text saying a number of things, and we'll get into those in a little bit. But when you're talking about a fan frustration, it piles on, man. It piles on, because every year, and this year was different because there was actually hope. right? A lot of people made an assessment, and the organization included, but even myself, even you, about how this team would be better. Like, if you look at that forward group anyways, this team should be better, but you don't see it. So I can understand the fan frustration. I can understand the negativity, and I don't come on these airwaves with an agenda to say, hey, the Canucks stink, and therefore we're going to rip into them because this is going to make us look good. Hell no. I think a good Vancouver Canucks team is a good situation in the city, but it's hard to say anything good about this team right now. It is difficult.
We're going to try.
It's difficult, man.
In the second half of this hour. I think we need to. As you said, I came in hot today. A couple of spros. A little spice in the chili.
A lot of people liking what you're saying. Some people are saying, Randeep, the more you talk, the better. So okay. there's one text that agrees with me. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying the fact that they're not willing to make a move of that stature is a good thing. Should not be perceived as negatively, because that tells you situation's on lock. And if you are a Canucks fan and you don't want drastic changes from a player personnel side, that's a good thing. You don't want any Peter Chiarelli type moves.
Yeah.
You don't want anything like that. The fact that there is nothing big coming here, that is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mark my words.
You would hope. You would hope. Rangers got lucky with Panarin, is one text coming in. Signing a free agent, that's luck. They gave him a lot of money. And yeah, he wanted to play somewhere on the Eastern Seaboard, preferably Florida or New York. So that certainly did help the Rangers, but those are factors that are always going to help the Rangers. That text also said, we're hoping other teams are calling 650, inquiring about Reach. Make that trade. He's killing us, especially 2 hours early today. So a texter that is quite happy with our rhetoric here on the People's Show. Chris and Delta, you have to stand pat to sell the GM and coaching job to the next one. They need to have some assets to work with. Nobody half decent will come in if they can't buy their own groceries. And this text, I totally disagree with no trades. I would trade Pettersson, Horvat, Besser if I could get a top six with size like a Rantanen from Colorado, size that can play.
You really want to sell on Elias Pettersson's stock right now when it's at the lowest it's ever been? Like, I know it's disappointing. He's on pace for 43 points. So is Bo Horvat, which is a failure for both of those players, especially Pettersson, but Bo Horvat as well. This is a guy that should be getting you 60 to 65 points pretty much every season he plays. Pettersson, you're hoping around 80 points. But you're going to sell a stock on a player that low? It's not good business. First of all, I wouldn't trade him to begin with because still believe in that skill. Has it taken a hit? Absolutely. But you think Colorado would just take a straight-up deal right now? You're trading. If you're even considering trading, I don't think this is a conversation, but since the texter brought it up, you're taking it at a loss right now. And that's how you lose deals. When you start offering up players, when they're not playing well, when they're a huge slump, especially this early in their careers.
We'll get into some of these texts. Elias Pettersson coming into the sights of some citizens of the People's Show. We'll get into that. Also, want to look at maybe, even when you try to look at positives, it becomes a negative because there's so few. But at the quarter mark, what's been a positive for the Canucks? That is not a wrong answers only. That is just a legitimate question. We do have a wrong answers only for the People's Show today. Dan Riccio and Randeep Janda. So we often have these types of topics when, you know, maybe the season is more on the line. 5-game road trip coming up. What do the Canucks need? 10 points available to them. What can they get out of this to solidify their playoff spot or get back into the playoff race? Whenever we mention playoffs on the show right now, it very much feels Jim Mora-esque.
We need that drop permanently for the rest of the year on this show.
Playoffs? Playoffs?
There it is. I hear Brendan Batchelor does a pretty good Jim Mora. In any case, that's what we're going to do today, but wrong answers only. What do the Canucks need from this 5-game road trip? Wrong answers only. Answer it on the Dunbar Lumber text line. What do the Canucks need from this five-game road trip?
I'll start it off.
Okay.
The Canucks need, and maybe from experience, maybe not, I'm not sure. They need a night out in Montreal. That might be a right answer, actually.
And
it's a wrong answer and a right answer.
New City Gas. I don't know if it's still around. I haven't been to Montreal in a while, but
I was there this past summer. I don't remember seeing it. I don't remember a lot of things, actually.
I was much younger back then. Yeah, Montreal, great spot.
It's both a right and a wrong answer.
Montreal's got a little bit of everything. As you said, over the summer, Montreal, better than Vancouver in the summer.
100%. Stand by that take.
Fire. Wrong answers only. What do the Canucks need from this road trip? Answer it. 650-650 Dunbar Lumber text line. We'll get to some of those thoughts and more on the Canucks game day against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Plus, we do have a pair of lower bowl seats to the Canucks and Penguins coming up December 4th at Rogers Arena. Keep listening. Sportsnet 650.
This is the People's Show on the official home of the Canucks. Sportsnet 650. Here's Dan, Sat, and Randeep.
Wrong answers only on the People's Show. So right now, Canucks are about to embark on a five-game road trip. Starts in Pittsburgh tonight, this evening. Friday in Columbus. Sunday in Boston. Monday they head to La Belle Provence to meet the Montreal Canadiens at Le Centre Bell. And then off to the nation's capital to play Ottawa and close out the road trip next Wednesday. Five games in 7 nights, essentially. So it's going to be a busy schedule for Vancouver coming up over the next number of days. Wrong answers only. What do the Canucks need from this road trip, Randeep? What are the people saying?
Well, there's some reaction to my suggestion about Montreal.
Oh, is there?
Lacrosse guy, I believe it's okay. Short for. Montreal, as a former professional lacrosse player that traveled to Montreal several times, I can tell you that a night in Montreal is 100% great for team bonding.
Mm.
I'll leave out a couple of emojis he threw in there as well.
Yeah. Man's had a few.
He's enjoyed Montreal.
Nights in Montreal.
So it's a right and a wrong answer.
There's always more than one night in Montreal, you know?
What's the limit, though? Because I feel as though if you... It's like Vegas, right?
A little bit, yeah.
Like, you hit a wall, and at some point, either you run out of money, or you're just out of it.
All right. We're through the first night, and I've already spent all of my budget
for
the weekend.
Pretty much. We got this one. We got Van... This is from Van Fan Cam. The Canucks need Green to strap on the skates and win some draws for them right now.
Yeah.
Just imagine that player coach in 2021.
That would be good. Who's the last? Was there a last player's coach? I don't know.
Maybe for like the Dansbury Trashers.
Yes.
I don't really know if there's been one in the NHL recently.
I think Wayne Rooney was doing it a bit for Derby County.
Lower division.
Yep. Doesn't happen often. Food is awesome in Montreal. Yes, we know. Another text, leave after two nights. How did this become something about Montreal? There's other cities on this road trip.
What can I say? I really like Montreal.
Pittsburgh and Columbus, not the best for team bonding.
Doesn't have that. Montreal's unique, man. You know that. Come on, you've been there.
Yep. Wrong answers only.
Mark and Whistler.
Yep.
The Canucks need one win against the Bruins and Shane Wright's phone number from this road trip. Long-term planning.
Corey in Saskatchewan. Canucks need to extend Jim Benning's contract on this road trip.
Ooh.
We live day to day. Like, we live, you know, with, you know, today. We're in today's world.
Unsigned texter coming in with, the Canucks need to re-sign Markstrom and Tanev on this road trip. Just pick them up. Have a small stopover in Calgary and say, guys, just jump on the plane. Just jump on our plane.
A couple of these ones came in on Twitter. Matt, also on the Dunbar Lumber text line. They need that GD wet rag on their forehead.
Okay, I brought a cool wet rag.
You think that's Travis Green to the team? Don't worry, guys. Brought a few wet rags.
Yeah. Marcus and Gibson's. They need a tour of JT Miller's new city.
Just imagine that as like a team bonding thing. Hey, guys, I'm going to take you to a little
yeah.
You know, hop on, hop off bus tour of Pittsburgh. Come on, let's go.
This is where I'll be signing once my contract is up.
That's my house. Swing by for dinner in a couple years. Unsigned text. They need Sammy Salo.
Oh.
They need Sammy Salo in a good year. This, in a bad year, absolutely. They probably need three Sammy Salos.
We know that Sammy Salo would put anything on the line to block a shot. Literally. Daniel on the Dunbar Lumber text line. They need to win all the games and get everyone's hopes up and then come home to start losing again. Like, at least if you were winning a bit at home, it might feel a little bit better. But 3 wins in 10 games at home? Yikes.
It's very much the Ted Lasso line. It's the hope that kills you. Build a hope on the road trip by winning some games and come back and lose a bunch at home. We're trying to add some levity to this, folks. I know there's a lot of people that are going to be like, why are you guys having fun at the expense of the local team? If we can't laugh, what can we do?
Couple more. Win a fight, Steven Delta.
Who's
dropping the mitts? Luke Shen looks like he's
Luke Shen
the
is, yeah.
Tonight.
You know, actually, I don't want skilled players to fight, but I think Bo Horvat is due a fight at some point.
Think Bo could drop the mitts?
Yeah, it's been a while
get some
since
frustration
he's,
out?
Yes. There has been some calls, especially when Oliver Ekman-Larsson had to stand up and a couple of weeks ago or a week ago. I think Bo dropping the gloves happens on this road trip.
Carey and Langley, Canucks need 24 points on this 5-game road trip.
He's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This comes from Dave from Yaletown. Let's call him Dave from Yaletown.
Okay.
The Canucks need Randeep to coach the special teams. It would probably be an upgrade at this point.
Okay. Yeah.
Hey, you stand over there. And you go over there.
Unsigned.
Nobody needs that.
They need a nice, cool, refreshing soda.
Absolutely. That would actually help the special teams.
Maybe a couple Spros, you know. They're playing a little bit earlier than usual on the East Coast time zone, right? So
reach at this point, why not both?
Yes.
It can't go much worse.
Wrong answers only. They can get the Galantes to come and fix the team.
Some truculence on and off the ice.
You think I should, if we have AJ Galante on the show, should I say Galante instead of Galanti?
Okay, but you know, like, Northeast Italian community is not the most, it's not like Italy, right?
No.
There's a New York element, I don't think he's going to take too kindly to your pronunciation. He's going to think you're doing that.
So, yeah, like, AJ Galante.
Sorry, what'd you say?
Next thing you know, next day. Who is it? Hired goons.
Yeah. I like this one from Chef Swagger from Hell's Kitchen. The Canucks need to talk to Fenway Sports Group while they're in Boston. Okay.
Yikes. They're close to the finish line, maybe. All right, that's wrong answers only on the People Show. Let's maybe keep the good vibes going. So we used to do it quite a bit on Reach Deep. Used to be on this time slot, Sportsnet 650. Not password. Stop it.
No, we're not doing that.
Josh won't let us.
We can't open up that wound. Like it's like a bad breakup.
Yes.
Right? Every time somebody brings it up, it's like, no, man.
The password music has been deleted. Even if you wanted to go to it, it is gone.
That's a lie.
I'm sure I could hum it and this guy could do his intro. But we're not gonna reach that deep.
Could probably still work.
We're not that desperate, I think.
I don't think so. We also have Josh Yoey coming up at 2:40 today. But
and you know what? Actually, Josh is the one who booked that interview.
Yeah,
he probably did it on purpose for 2:40.
Josh's like, no, we can't do 1:30. It's gonna be 2:40.
I see what he's done.
It all makes sense now.
I was hoping you wouldn't get it this early.
We figured it out, as iMac would say. Figure it out, man. At the quarter mark of the season, what's been positive for the Canucks? So as we used to do on Reach Deep, Canucks going in a slump, need a win, need a dub, bring the good vibes only. They're in that spot right now, as we know. And also, given that they're already at a point where the future is very much a part of the conversation, what has been a positive for the Canucks through, after tonight, the first quarter of this season? What's been a positive for this team?
There's very few to count, but I think one of the main ones on the list has to be Nils Höglander. The fact that this young player, we saw it last year, but you're kind of in the back of your mind. Maybe you're thinking, okay, there could be a sophomore slump, or maybe, you know, the second year, is the effort there? Does he continue to improve? You know, status quo sometimes in this league is a dangerous thing as well, where do you continue to evolve? Do you adjust? And we've seen that. We've seen that effort. He's kind of that player alongside a Connor Garland, where he can be put on pretty much any line and he gets things going. So I think from that perspective, yes, there's still an area where he needs to grow defensively. You know, there's still room for progress, but I look at this squad and say, all right, Nils Höglander is one of the good stories, one of the positive stories yet again this year in otherwise a dismal year, similar to last year, where he may, you know, he's getting 9 points in 15 games, which is pretty good compared to somewhere where some of the star players sit in that 8 point range or that 10 point range. But it's the mentality, it's the effort, and that's a positive, where the top six players, the consistent top six players, are not really producing. You're questioning maybe effort in some games. Nils Höglander, he's bringing it. He's actually dragging other guys into the fight, which is really important. So I don't know if it leads anywhere for this team, but at the very least, you have a player that is clearly showing you that he is one for the future.
I'll never forget last year. It wasn't even a full year ago. We're almost there. But when training camp started last January, and we all saw Nils Höglander on line two, and you, more than most,
can't believe it, eh?
We're just like, that's not going to stick. Come on. Like, we know. That's not going to stick. He's not going to play with Bo and Pearson on night one. You know what? I'll do the one chip challenge if Nils Höglander is on that line to start the season. And as we know, it unfolded and you ended up doing the one chip challenge. And Nils Höglander ended up having a solid rookie season. I think he finished, what, fifth or sixth in Calder voting. Pretty solid for a guy that we didn't expect to be in the NHL so quickly. And then looking back at this training camp, first player I noticed popped right away. Man, Nils looks great. A little bit faster, stronger on the puck. He's still got a ways to go with finishing, but the fundamentals of his game are so strong, and you see a will there. The dog on a bone mentality we've wanted other players to have here in Vancouver in the past, Nils has it. He has it. It's natural to him. And if nothing else, he's looked like a guy you can continue building around with this roster rather than, you know, a guy that's could very well easily be in the conversation of, is he a middle six forward? Like, what is he? We've seen prospects in the past, picks in the past that are just kind of whatever type players. Nils doesn't look like that. You can just feel the difference. You can see the difference with this player.
No, and he's a player that's going to eventually get a very, very good raise, but that's what you want. You want players that are outside the first round to hit, and Nils Höglander is turning out to be one of those players. Now, I got to say, you brought up the one-chip challenge.
You handled it well.
No, I'm just saying, Nils Höglander and I are very similar in one regard. Our street cred went up after that. Both of ours. I might have taken the short-term loss, but in the end, I won, Reach. I won.
Yeah. Iron stomach, Randeep Janda.
Got a lot of texts coming in.
Yeah, turns out a lot of people want to be positive about the Canucks right now. They're looking for the good vibes only here on the People's Show. Garland is second in scoring. He is best find. I mean, we all loved the Garland aspect of the Coyotes deal. I think it was unanimous. Like, this guy could be something pretty good for this roster. And he absolutely has been. You know, when I see Garland, and also you, like, very similar to Hoglander, like they're just players that don't take no for an answer, you know, and maybe it is short guy mentality. Not that I speak from experience or anything, Randy, but you get doubted a lot, and it forces you to have some form of a chip on your shoulder.
Yeah.
And you can feel it with those two players. You can feel it with Garland. Guy gets smacked around in the offensive zone, still comes away with the puck. What does he care? He's like, I'm creating a scoring chance whether you hit me or not. And I love that about him. And he's been good for his teammates. He's been good offensively. It's taken some time to find the right fit. But tonight, Garland with Petey and Podkolzin, I mean, it's the main thing you're watching for tonight against the Pittsburgh Penguins, to see what that looks like after the incredible shift they had at the end of the second period against Chicago.
You are, because there's an element of, you know, speed and aggression that Connor Garland brings, which I want to see how that goes with Elias Pettersson a little bit more, you know, longer than one shift. You need to shake it up as well, because Besser and Petey, that combo is looking flat right now whenever they're playing together. You look at, you know, the scoring chances, the shot shares, for the most part, when they're together, it hasn't been going right. And what I like about the Podkolzin thing, I'm glad you brought him up on this line too, is that he's brought that aggression on the forecheck, the hard work, the smart play along the walls, the dedication, which we see in Connor Garland's game, but Podkolzin is bringing that at the NHL level consistently, and the playmaking. So you're getting a little bit of steel and substance, which is important. Does that create a little bit more room for Elias Pettersson? Does that allow him to move around a little bit more, maybe get some more space when he's playing with two players like this? That's something to watch. But we also had another text here from Tanbeer saying, Podkolzin's a positive. And I know there's been ups and downs to start off the year, whether he was getting enough ice time or whether there was enough confidence in his game, sitting out. But he's definitely been a positive. This is a guy that, you know, nobody thought it was going to be a clear upward trajectory right off the bat, like, you know, Podkolzin to the moon type of situation. It's been up and down, but he is trending in the right direction. He's seeming like a more confident player, where early on this year, even in camp, extremely cautious. Now he's kind of puffing his chest out, making plays, being aggressive. He drilled Seth Jones against the Chicago Blackhawks. That was a big boy hit. You start to see a little bit more of that. That is a definite positive, and you're hoping in the next little bit here, as the new year comes closer and closer, that he can etch himself into a skill position more consistently. That he's not maybe having those valleys where maybe the confidence is lost in his game. It seems like he's turning it around here, and that's definitely a positive.
It's been really impressive to watch him early on. And hey, we can say and have said a lot of things, Travis Green and how he's coached this team. But he took a lot of heat for how he handled Podkolzin early. And he scores that goal early in the season against Philly. Doesn't really play much. Gets scratched a couple of times. I mean, Green can take a lot of heat for some different things. But the way he brought Podkolzin along is something I think he should be praised for. Not just gifting him the ice time, but also, as we heard many reports out of practice and saw it at practice, taking the time to work with him, talk things out with him, help him along, help him to understand. And as now he has started to play a lot better and a lot stronger, and you see it in all different zones of the game, which is what Podkolzin is as a player, you're seeing the ice time follow along with it. So it's always been about rewarding the player when he feels like he's ready, and now you're seeing that more. Like, you see it every single night with Podkolzin. He's stronger on the puck now than he was earlier in the season. He makes plays in the D zone, separating opponents from the puck and creating rush chances the other way, which is something this team does far too little of, but he's able to do it on certain occasions. These are things that the Canucks desperately need. And again, when you think about like the hard part about this season is it's gone off the rails so quickly that you know it's in basically life jacket mode. You know, you're hanging on for your dear life. But at the same time, positives are Podkolzin and Hoglander legitimately look like parts of a core that you can continue building upon, a young core that you can continue building upon, even if there's still some major roster construction issues that are around that.
There's been a lot of criticism for Travis Green this year, and there should be. The team is terrible, and they've played terrible for a good chunk of the season thus far. But one of the areas I actually don't mind is his, the way he's dealt with Vasily Podkolzin.
Yeah.
It's the first month of the season. The 7, 9, 10 minutes of ice time, I know it bothered a lot of fans. I know it bothered a lot of folks that cover this team. But it's a slow climb. It's a slow build. And now you're at a position where you're confident in his game. A month ago, 2 weeks ago, maybe you weren't. You saw some cracks in his game, a little bit more, you know, less confident in his game. But you talk about those defensive plays. You talk about, you know, just having that aggression in his game along the walls, playing smart hockey, but at the same time, flexing some of his skill. There's a nice blend there. There's a nice mix of his everything that he is able to offer. And that's just the beginning. There's more that he can offer, but you're starting to see that kind of come through. And hey, there's a lot of criticism to go around for every layer of the Canucks this year. And coaching is not immune to that. But one area I actually like that Travis Green has dealt with is the Vasily Podkolzin, you know, easing him into the NHL game, because it's the easy thing to do. When your team is struggling, just saying, all right, kid, top six. Everything else is going badly right now. Maybe you can help fix it. But is that best for the development of the player? Not always. So I actually like the way that he's dealt with this.
It's the People's Show, and we go to the people on the Dunbar Lumber text line. Jason and Ladner feel like we are similar to Calgary before they made a few trades and brought in Sutter. They were also talking about chopping Gaudreau and Monahan, similar to our constant Besser and now Miller talk, and to a lesser degree, Petey. But they've righted the ship, and then some. Another text, Sham and Tawasin. But Colson's only negative early was his ice time. Another text coming in, Joe in Nanaimo. It's almost desperation time. Have we seen Hoglander, Miller, and Garland together yet? Joe in Nanaimo. Nope, but we're seeing Podkolzin, Garland, and Pettersson together tonight, which should be pretty interesting. Steve and East Van, OEL, a definite positive. So, yeah, I know some listeners have been tired of us dwelling in the crisis this team has found itself in this season, but clearly a solid exercise to get some good vibes only going.
It's essentially a breathe in,
mm-hmm.
breathe out. I got one positive stat.
I could have used that earlier in the show,
yeah,
Randeep. Thank
I told
you
to take a sip of water, right? Like, this is the issue right now. And you're opening to the show,
yeah,
kind of was a great way to illustrate this. The sun could come out and you'd be yelling at the sun, finding something negative to say. It's a demeanor, and I get it.
You might say I've become a true Vancouverite.
I think you have. I think you have. I almost went along with you. I was like, you know what, Reach, you're right. I was like, wait a second. The fact that they're not going to make a trade is a good thing. That's a good thing.
It's showing
you don't want to be taking any chances.
My point is, where was the patience for the last number of years? I don't want to get back into it. Still to come on the show, your chance to win a pair of lower bowl seats to the Canucks and Penguins at Rogers Arena next Friday, is it? December 4th here at Rogers Arena. So you'll get that chance coming up in the next hour. Got to keep listening with the People's Trivia. Kevin Woodley, In Goal Magazine, NHL.com. He joins us next. Sportsnet 650.